So, welcome to our first full day of practice. You can hear me all okay? I think it's good. Yeah. There's a beautiful quotation from the Buddha that speaks about the fathom-long body, and a fathom is a maritime measurement to measure the depth of water. A fathom is approximately 6 feet or a couple of meters. And a very, very poetic translation from the Buddha that says that within this fathom-long body, with its thoughts and emotions, lies our world. Within this fathom-long body, with its thoughts and emotions, lies our world. Its origin, its cessation, its pathway to freedom is found within this fathom-long body. And in the teachings of the Dharma, the Buddha speaks about settling into four foundations of mindfulness: the foundation of the body, foundation of feeling tones, foundation of mind states, and the fourth, the foundation of the dharmas. In these next couple of days, we're really going to be concentrating with the body, grounding into this body, this vehicle that we live inside of. Within the body practices, there are six practices. We'll be focusing primarily on the first three, but just to name them all, I think it's helpful. And so there's the mindfulness of breathing, mindfulness of the postures of the body, the mindfulness of the clear comprehension of bringing our awareness into day-to-day activities. This provides the continuity of the practice that everything we can do is part of our mindfulness, whether we're bringing our hand to touch a doorknob and turning it to open, whether we're eating food, whether we're defecating and showering, whether we're sweeping, chopping vegetables, the mindfulness in day-to-day life. In this retreat, we're developing the continuity of mindfulness in most everything we do. And of course, I think you're already seeing or knowing that we're not mindful every moment, but it's a practice. And of course, this very beautiful and simple equation: the moment you realize you're not present, you are present. It's that close. Yet at times, that far. But our practice is coming back. In Pali, the word for meditation is bhavana, which means to call back, to remember, to come back into the present moment. So this is part of our practice. The latter three practices of the body is a meditation on the four primary elements that exist within all material phenomena of solids, liquids, motion, temperature. There's the anatomical practices of the 32 parts of the body meditation. And then there's a very powerful practice on the mindfulness of death, 9 different contemplations on the various stages of decomposition from the first day of death until gradually the body turns into dust. So these are the six practices found within the body. But as I mentioned, we'll really be focusing on the postures, bringing our mindfulness into our day-to-day practice. And then this mindfulness of breathing. And I'd like to just also, so last night JD introduced the mindfulness of breathing, and we understand more about trauma sensitivity, and that even though we are all breathing, it may be that the object of the breath may not be as helpful for you. So I want to offer another option, which is to listen to sound. So you could also make a primary object being hearing meditation. It's nice sometimes to have an option. A third one even potentially could be is being mindful of the different touch points or sensations in the body. So really we're going to support you to experiment a bit, unless you have been practicing for some time and you really are very clear with your anchor that you can bring attention to. And if it is the breath, breathing normally and breathing naturally. And yes, there's times due to natural fluctuations of the breath that sometimes it may be a little bit longer, sometimes a little bit shorter, and often in between long and short. But the main thing is to not intentionally try to manipulate your breath. Letting the body breathe you, breathing in and knowing you're breathing in as you're breathing in and breathing out and knowing, experiencing, in direct experience, that you're breathing out. For some, it might even be helpful to begin to pinpoint with the breath on where you feel it the most predominant. For some, it may be in the nose area, the tip of the nose, the inner nostrils, the upper lip. For others, it may be more in the abdomen, in the belly, or the chest. For some, there's more of a global sense of feeling the whole body like a balloon that's inflating on an inhalation and deflating on an exhalation. So you can experiment. Where do you feel your own breath to be most prominent and distinct? One of my old teachers, Venerable Bokoku Sero, used to offer this example. Just as you had a piece of wood and you got a handsaw and you wanted to cut through the wood, that would involve getting the teeth of the saw onto the wood. And through the up and down motion, it cuts through the wood. And he would go on to say, feel that point of contact where you feel the breath. Be aware of the inhalation, the exhalation, as you cut through ignorance and into liberation. So finding that place where you feel the breath, just being aware of its arising and passing like the waves of the seas that ebb and flow. We can just experiment with this for a little bit, with the breath, and then we'll shift to the other objects just to offer some options. And so the mindfulness of breathing. And as an option, you also could make the anchor the mindfulness of hearing, bringing awareness into the ears and listening to whatever sounds are heard, whether they're in or out of the room. Sounds rising. And sounds passing. Perhaps as our concentration deepens, we may hear internal sounds, pulses, ringings in the ears. So you could potentially make hearing meditation your anchor, your primary object. So just listening to sounds. Just like the breath that ebbs and flows, different sounds come and go. Hearing meditation. And then just shifting from sounds to the mindfulness of sensations, of course, is the touch points, the body sitting in the cushion, the chair, hands on the lap, the upper lip making contact with the lower lip in the mouth, eyelids may be closed. So there's so many different areas of touch and contact, and of course, so many different types of sensations, itches and aches and tingles. Warmth, coolness, moisture, dryness, the spectrum of the tactile or sensations. So this too could be a primary object, being mindful of sensations as they also arise and pass away. Sensations. And so as we go further into our practice, you're welcome to experiment with each of those, but you might find in time that you're landing with one. It's becoming more your go-to. So you're welcome just to do some experimentation, if that's helpful, and then eventually coming to this one object. So this is the cultivation of developing our concentration. And you could say the cultivation of insight, as we're also aware of the breath, for example, coming and going, or sounds rising and passing. There's a refrain found within these foundations of mindfulness quite often, of the origination and the dissolution, the rising and the passing. So it's like this steadying of the mind that we're developing concentration and also opening to insight. Of course, nothing to be figured out, just to know you're breathing in and out, knowing that it's changing. And of course, inevitably, throughout our time of practice today, there'll be many different thoughts and emotions that will also come into awareness, and when they do, to acknowledge the wandering of the mind away from the bodily object, acknowledge it. No need to be in denial of it. But after acknowledging it, training ourselves to come back to either the breath or sounds or sensations. I also want to just speak for a little bit on the attitude, which to me is so important, how we practice. Because we often bring our embedded conditioning to the practice, and at times that conditioning may not actually serve us, particularly if it's fairly brutal, critical, judgmental. So a way to begin to uproot this embedded conditioning is with intention to bring some kind attending. When our mind wanders off for the thousandth time, returning kindly attending, bringing it back. At least now I was aware that I wandered off. rather than judging ourselves or having wandered off and being critical, we could just congratulate ourselves. At least I'm aware now that I've wandered off. Tibetan teacher Pema Chodron speaks of a beautiful little teaching story of having a puppy and wanting to train it to learn a few commands. You can train it in a very punishing and critical and harsh way, and in time, the puppy will learn some of the commands. But often when you're brought up in an environment that's very critical and judgmental, the disposition, puppy can become kind of skittish, kind of neurotic, kind of confused. By contrast, training with kindness, with patience, in time, the puppy will also learn some of the commands, but being brought up in an environment that has some kindness, some patience, often the disposition of those puppies become more confident and flexible. So could we begin to develop interrupting this more deeper embedded conditioning that might be very critical to some kind attending? In relation to wise effort, yeah, we know when we need to exert, we exert. When we know that we're pushing too much, we back off. It's learning, wisely attending, kindly attending. If you learn nothing else but to be a little bit kinder, which is beginning to interrupt some of this conditioning, this will be very good. This kind attending, as you sit in a position, as we go into the silence now for a bit, just feel into your bodily posture. Let it be comfortable. And the intention of the mind to be awake. That's the best posture. Comfortable and awake. So feel free if you want to adjust a little bit, even right now. Being comfortable and awake. So as we enter into the silence, kindly attending and being present.